While waiting for one of the countless doctor's appointments that I've attended with my now very pregnant wife, I heard politicians, pundits, and talking heads on TV argue about fake news. When I got frustrated with their circular arguments, I judgmentally shook my head, turned, and noticed a sign that read, "Disagreement is not equal to rejection." This sign got me thinking, because a fear of rejection is driving our society to say, post, and report on things that are utterly and completely untrue. It's as if we don't want to seem as not knowing what we're talking about. And if we are, somehow we will be discarded, disliked, judged, unfriended, or just flat out rejected. Unfortunately, rejection is growing as one of our greatest fears, and we do not have the coping skills to deal with it. I've talked with counselors and psychologists who say that their offices are filled with people who don't know how to work through conflict, who can't critically think or problem solve or flat out deal with disappointment. It's as if members of our society have been coddled and sheltered in the name of love. One of the consequences of this so-called love is an increased and unhealthy sensitivity to all everything. This sensitivity leads from a simple suggestion to cut a piece of watermelon or fruit in a more efficient manner to the response, "Don't judge me." And whether said in jest or through a deep sincerity, people believe that their reaction is biblical. When we respond with, "Don't judge me," some of us are in effect saying, "Jesus says you shouldn't judge me." And by that, don't say or do anything that makes me feel sad. What I really need is healing, but I'd rather you not disagree with me. Don't reject me. When I think of the source of statements like, "Don't judge me," I can't help but notice that we interpret life from a place of brokenness. And we have a propensity to interpret Scripture from that same place of brokenness. This is why it's important to see that Jesus continues speaking beyond the word "judge" in Matthew 7:1. After the word "judge" in verse 1, there is no period, that marks the end of the sentence. Rather, there's a comma. And whether or not that comma is there in the original text, the words that follow aren't simply a directive, but they're a choice. And like all choices, there are consequences that follow our judgment. That is, when we judge, we will be judged. So if we want to avoid being judged, we need to judge with righting our hearts. In this context, judging without the right heart is engaging in a fault-finding mission. And the standard that we use in this mission will be the same standard that is used against us. So to say the words, "Do not judge," as if they stand alone, is a false picture of ourselves, and more importantly, a false picture of Jesus. If we are his followers, we should want nothing more than to lovingly speak the truth. So what then is the truth that this passage reveals? Jesus is actually saying something that should help us breathe a sigh of relief about judgment. He offers a solution in verses 3 through 5, and in verse 5, he says that when we see the speck in someone else's eye, we should first take out the plank from our own eye. That way, we won't be hypocrites. This isn't the first time Jesus talks about hypocrites, and it's not the last, because he doesn't care for behavior that suggests that we have no fault and no need for a Savior. Hypocrites, in a very real sense, are pretenders. So when Jesus talks about being a hypocrite, we get a clear sense of how judging is defined in this passage. Judgment in this context is not determining someone else's eternal state. Rather, Jesus is talking about unnecessarily focusing on what's wrong and bringing it to the surface. It's sort of like going into someone's garbage can and digging up the dirt, or Googling that person that threatens you at the office so that you'll have dirt to use against them one day. This is what pretenders do. They find specks. They speculate. And let's keep it real. We find specks. We speculate. And we've all been, or will be, hypocrites if we're pointing out specks when we have a plank. Like most, I start each day with the expectation that I will not be a hypocrite. But then I walk out of my door and go into the world. As I ride or drive in, the world seems to pull at me. And whether it's in Houston traffic and putting up with people who cannot drive, or it's that person on the side of the road who's not working and asking for assistance, I get annoyed and I start judging people. Recently, I was enjoying an early morning bike ride when I passed a man who had a sign that read, "We'll work for food." As I was heading to the gas station later that day, I saw the same man getting into his car. Cynically, I judged him and wondered what he was going to do with all that money he had collected. Coincidentally, he pulled into pump right behind me. Frustratingly, I looked at the sky and said, "Really? Really?" But then I caught myself and I walked over and talked to him. His name was Jason. He had lost his job, had not been able to find work for 9 months, and was trying to feed his family. So I told him I'd like to help him. We filled his car. Then we went to the nearby grocery store and bought groceries for his family. And as we were loading his trunk with groceries, I gave him a small Bible that was in my vehicle. As I was walking away, Jason looked at the Bible and said, "You did all this for Jesus?" Turned around and caught off guard by his question, I looked at him for what felt like an eternity and said, "Well, I saw you when I was riding my bike earlier today. I had some feelings about your sign. And then later in the afternoon, I saw you getting into your car, and then you pulled in the gas station. At that moment, I knew God wanted me to help you, and I knew I was wrong." Before I could respond any further, Jason looked at me straight in the eye and said, "I saw you talking to yourself at the pump and thought you were crazy." He then said, "But thank you for the help, and I'd like to know this Jesus." So we prayed, and Jason accepted God and Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. God taught me a lesson that day about hypocrisy and judgment. And I have tried, at times unsuccessfully, to be less judgmental and more accepting. What Jesus offers us here is a simple solution to judgment and acceptance. It is a matter of right and wrong. It is a matter of doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. And since it's countercultural to our world and counterintuitive to ourselves, it's not so simple. Let's review what's happening in these verses. Jesus tells us not to do something that we think we can do, judge others, and then tells us something that we cannot do, fix ourselves. Do you see what Jesus is telling us here? He's telling us not to do something we can't do, judge others, and then gives us something that we cannot do, fix ourselves. It's easy to miss because we want so badly to judge. We think, oh, Jesus is helping me out. Once I remove my plank, I'm free to judge because I'll no longer be a hypocrite. But planks aren't that simple. If I have a plank, I have years of buildup. If I have a plank, I have years of brokenness. If I have a plank, I have generations of pain. If I have a plank, I cannot fully see what this passage is about. Sight. And planks get in the way of sight. All types of sight, spiritual sight, physical sight, and emotional sight. Planks cause sight loss. One eye will never fully see what two eyes can see. So when we lose one eye to a plank, we lose depth perception. And to become comfortable with a plank is to become comfortable with the inability to see. Without depth, we can't see multiple dimensions or scale. We can't see the components that make up our ability to see the big picture. And without the big picture, we can't fully see someone else's stuff, their history, their heart, or their hurt. Not being able to see someone else means that our critical fault finding yields nothing eternally fruitful. And this passage is about seeing eternal things. It's about counterintuitive kingdom living. But what about their fruits? Doesn't the Bible say that we'll be able to recognize people by their fruits? Yes, it does. But it does not say that when we see each other's fruits, we are given license to nitpick. We could spend all day trying to nitpick, inspect, and judge each other's fruits. But at the end of the day, what I know to be true is that if we are determined to always be right, if we spend all day trying to inflate and puff ourselves up, if we spend time digging up dirt and trying to point out other people's fruits, if we hide behind our insecurities and act as hypocrites, if, like the Pharisees, we present the world fake news about ourselves, if that's how we operate, then no definition will ever suffice. If our objective is to win, then we'll continue living with a false sense of righteousness. Folks, we've got planks. Whether we're the one pointing the finger or feeling like a finger is being pointed back at us, we've got planks. Planks are trending. So what's the plank that you're struggling with today? As I thought about this question, I asked Allison to help me prepare this 2x4 plank. And on it is written some things that I'm personally struggling with. Judgmentalism, being a hypocrite, anger, worry, doubt, exaggeration, and selfishness. On the ends are things that I'm trying to let go of. But make no mistake, this plank is sticking out of my eye. And it's causing me not to be able to see deeply. So what's the plank that's sticking out of your eye? What are you struggling with? What is causing you to not be able to see deeply? Rather than getting worked up on what's written on your plank, remember that sigh of relief that I mentioned earlier? Here it is. Only someone with perfect vision can remove planks. And we know who that person is. It is Jesus. He has that kind of vision. He can see beyond our eyes and into our hearts. He doesn't have to worry about the standard he uses being used against him, because he is the standard and he will always measure up. He has no planks. He has no specks of sawdust, no shortcomings. He knows our pain. He knows we're confused. He knows we're blind, and he knows how to heal us and how to take the plank out of our eye. Jesus presents us with what is essentially a call to focus on him. He knows how we see each other. He knows that we cannot see each other when we are focused on the specks. He is saying, let me heal you. So does that mean we can't judge? Or is the text saying that once Jesus removes the plank, we are free to judge? Because I've got some stuff that I want to talk to you about your behavior, your faults, and your fruits, my brother, my sister. I'm like the Pharisee. I've got these standards, and you're not measuring up. You see, the problem with judging and critical fault finding is far from suggesting an efficient manner or expressing a difference of opinion. It assumes that the standard that we've created for ourselves is ultimate. Now, we may try to dress it up in a thus saith the Lord mentality, but really, it's all about me. It's all about you. I'm looking for affirmation for something that confirms just how right I am and how wrong you are. We say we're on the same journey, but because mine looks different than yours, yours must be wrong. You see, the problem is that when I look at you, I see a speck of sawdust. I don't see the grace of God at work in you. And that's not your fault. It's not your fault that I don't see grace, because grace is not what I'm looking for. If we have a sense of grace at work within each other, if we have a sense of each other's hearts, if we have a sense of the long suffering for God towards us, we shall not be found judging or accusing. That is, the more that we're able to see the long suffering of others, the more that we're able to sense the long suffering of God toward us, the less likely we are to be hypocrites. And rather than being focused on ourselves by making ourselves appear better than one another, we'll be focused on the plank remover. And that's got relief written all over it. Counterintuitive, kingdom living relieves and heals people. It not only heals people, but it begins to right the wrongs of society. It begins to restore our broken world. It causes us, even those politicians and talking heads on TV, to transparently live in the light. And it causes us to focus on our planks, on the plank remover, and on the one who has perfect vision. Imagine what would happen if the church decided to stop using themselves as the standard by which everyone is measured. Dream with me for a moment this morning. Hope with me today. What would happen if we stopped trying to judge others? What would happen to our families, our communities, our society, and our nation if we surrendered to the plank remover? Not so that we can properly assess specks in others, but that so that we can actually serve others with open hearts, so that we can love them enough to tell them the truth, and so that we can clearly see him. I can tell you what would happen. Transparency and healing would happen. Is there a place for pointing out what's not working or what's wrong? Yes. Can I call you on your stuff? And can you call me on mine? I hope so. Do we have to be long friends to keep each other accountable? I hope not. But are we doing these things just to make ourselves feel better? Or are we doing them because Jesus has personally called us to them? Do we have a current growing relationship with Him? Growing in relationship with Jesus means following Him. So, if we're not caught up with ourselves, we'll see clearly enough to follow Him and actually help and serve one another. Not because our vision is good, but because we're allowing Jesus to remove our planks and work in and through our lives. And that's good news. Speaking of the good news that comes from clearly seeing Jesus and clearly seeing one another, a ministry that I'm involved in, Zervita Ministries, recently fed 11,200 people in 10 cities across the United States on a single Saturday morning. We did that not by judging others, but by turning to Jesus to pull the plank out of our own eye. Not by focusing on their specs, but by clearly seeing Jesus and having a vision of what it means to follow Him. Like those in the pictures that have been rolling behind me, and those countless people that have gone before us in this church, I want to serve Christ and others by addressing my plank, by seeing without pretense, by not judging people, by not being a hypocrite, and by not presenting fake news about myself to the world. How about you? Pray with me. Heavenly Father God, we come to You with planks. We come to You knowing that there are things written on our planks that we're struggling with. We come to You knowing that we must first address our plank before we can reach out and help others. Help us to help and serve others by seeing You with a clear vision, a vision that is without judgment. Because, Lord, You are the standard. You are the standard by which all things are measured, and we do not measure up. So who are we to judge our brother or our sister? Lord, help us to not engage in judgment today. Help us to turn to You with open hearts and clear vision. Help us to open our hearts to see one another, to see their hearts, to see their history, and to see their hurt. And Lord, as we do, come into our lives. Fill us with Your presence. Fill us with Your Spirit, and help us to serve You in all that we think, say, and do. It is in Your precious and holy name that we pray as we reach out and hold the hands of those beside us and pray the prayer that You've taught us to pray. Our Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.